Okay, now let's see if you can hear me now. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? I have no idea what I could be doing or you wouldn't be able to hear me. Let's see, I'm talking. Can anybody hear me? Let me know if you can hear me. Yeah. Okay, let me go into settings for Zoom. I just don't know what it would be. Meeting settings. So weird. Webinars. Okay, let me, I don't know what to do, y'all. Okay, we're just gonna keep trying till we figure something out. Okay, let me check my computer. Sound. Okay, let me sound effects, output, input, input level. I don't not see. Looks like I'm talking. Input, output. Maybe I'll try to use my phone. Input, output. Okay, let me try to do my microphone. See if that works. Can you all hear me now? You can hear me now with the microphone. Okay, let me get the microphone on. Then I hate doing this, all this hair. Okay, I don't love this microphone, but if this is what it's gonna take to talk to y'all today, I'll do it. Okay. Y'all can hear me. It's a bit quiet though. Okay. I was having some issues last time too. Very quiet. Still quiet. How does it sound now? Better than not hearing me, yes? Okay, people are saying they sound good, so just turn up the volume if you need to. Okay, sounds normal. Okay, so y'all just turn up the volume a little bit if you need to. All right, and I got your message, Amber. One exception a week. Thank you for keeping me updated. You're doing awesome. Okay, all right, guys. Sorry about that little hiccup there. Allie, you're up first. Make sure I can hear you. Hi, hold on a minute. Let's see. Go to this. Ooh, okay.
Is that working okay?
Yes, I can hear you. Okay. Sorry about that.
No problem at all.
All right. How's it going?
Good, thank you. How are you doing?
Good. What's going on?
Okay. So basically, what I would like to talk or have some coaching on today is about 2 weeks ago, I went through a breakup. And since then, I've been thinking a lot about kind of my feelings of self-worth since effectively being rejected. It wasn't my choice to break up, so effectively being rejected by somebody in favor of someone else. So kind of thoughts around that and how to get myself out of that cycle. And then it made me realize more generally that I think I get myself in a pattern a lot of looking for external validation, particularly from relationships and things like that, and often choosing people who I don't even think necessarily I'm particularly that interested in, but I like the external validation of them liking me. And so then when it falls apart, it sort of is even more it feels worse. So yeah, I think then I realized that my own self-worth and self-validation is really lacking, and I've been trying to model that and try to write down the things that I think are good about myself and things like that. But I'm just not coming up with a lot and realizing that maybe this is something I need to be working on.
Okay. So I would challenge you. The first thing you said was you were rejected. Do you see that as a fact?
Yeah, I do. I think I do. Yeah.
Because rejected is a feeling.
True. Okay. Then maybe he made a choice not to be with me anymore.
Right. I mean, that's the thing is like you can, I mean, because, you know, rejected is your feeling and yeah. Your thought is he rejected me or he doesn't, you know, want me anymore or whatever. But, you know, it's your thought that creates that rejected feeling.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, so just kind of recognizing that first, that it wasn't just, you know, like the C line is, you know, he.
C line is not rejection. Yeah. Right,
well, and the C line is not, you know, like. I mean, you really want to be factual about that, you know, exactly what he said or whatever. And then, you know, and then what's that thought in the middle?
Yeah.
So what's the thought that creates that feeling of rejection for you? Is it beyond he rejected me?
I guess that just that I wasn't good enough and that somebody else was better. Mm. And yeah, I think that's like the main thought or sort of why wasn't I good enough or yeah, why? Yeah.
And then, I mean, even just, you know, having a question in the T line is, you know, we don't want y'all to have questions in the T line, right? It's like, you know, answer your question.
Yeah.
And then, and then that creates that feeling of rejected. So, how would you like to feel about what happened?
I would like to feel just sort of, I guess just calm about it. Like, I think it's okay to be sad about it, but to just be accepting of it and that that wasn't meant to be. And I think that, like, when I really think about it, I think it was the right thing. I think it wasn't the right person for me. And I think that that's it's probably a better choice. But then I think then I feel annoyed with myself that even I probably knew it wasn't the right thing for me, but I still hung on to it. And let it sort of happen to me rather than taking control of that situation. And when I knew it wasn't maybe the right person, moving on from it myself.
Yeah. And that's, but you know, but that's really kind of beating yourself up about, you know, about the past, right? In terms of just the choice that you made and, you know, for whatever reason you made that choice at the time, but now, you know, you're where you are now in terms of, you know, what happened. But I totally agree with you that, you know, before you get to acceptance, you may need to go through sad and maybe even lonely or things like that. So it's like, you know, you don't want to jump to a totally, you know, kind of rainbows and daisies kind of model yet, but move toward acceptance and move towards, but again, that's all from your thoughts, right? And not from what he did. And so, and I think that's what you're talking about, kind of that external validation. It's like, you know, whatever he did or said, you know, positive or negative or anything, it's always comes through the filter of you and your thoughts. And so, you know, it's like no one really can validate us.
Yeah.
Because we always have to have a thought, you know, or not validate, right? So we always have a thought before we choose, you know, validation, or we choose acceptance or whatever. Mm-hmm. So just kind of think of it like that, where it's like, it's always up to you.
Yeah.
No matter what, because, you know, and that's the good news, is that, you know, people can say or do whatever, and we can decide, you know what, it just wasn't, you know, like you said, it wasn't right for me. And, you know, I'm going to feel acceptance. But again, you don't, you know, want to kind of white knuckle yourself to that. You want to just, you know, okay, so how do I want to feel right now? Do I want to feel, you know, do I even want to just sit in this rejected feeling for a while, but just, you know, kind of figure out how I got there, and then where do I want to go next? You know, your model can kind of go from, you know, you can have a bunch of models
before
you get to the acceptance.
Yeah, because I think I was wanting to immediately jump to sort of the friendship zone, and like, it's that's a while away still, actually.
Yeah. So it just takes time. Just take your time. And really think about what feelings. I mean, that would be good to just kind of make a list of what feelings you want to kind of practice feeling in this process. You know, and it, I mean, and it's kind of a grief process, right? You know, grief has these stages.
Yeah.
And so this is very similar in that it's just, you know, you're in a certain stage right now. And that's okay, you know, wherever you are.
Yeah, just not beat myself up for still wanting to be in touch.
Right.
And then generally, like, I think the thing that maybe concerns me more generally is just recognizing this this sort of need for validation all the time. And I think I do it in relationships. I think I do it in my career, like always like pushing to achieve the next thing. And it's this constant. I think like when people look at all the stuff you do, they're like, oh my God, like you're so successful and everything. And I think that if I'm honest, what's at the root of all of that is that the feeling of like, I have to keep achieving, or I have to keep getting people to like me or whatever it might be, because I don't really feel worthy enough in just who I am, what I am, you know? And that's where I sort of don't know. I've been kind of modeling it, but I sort of don't know where to begin building up those feelings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, so like the feeling is worthiness, right? The feeling is, you know, and it's really just kind of coming up with some, okay, what do I want to practice? And, you know, and you can always begin those thoughts with, you know, I'm working on believing that I am worthy. I'm working on believing that I only need my acceptance and my validation. And I think it'd be interesting for you because you're a musician, right?
Yeah.
And you, you know, you probably get some really clear. And I think about myself too, just as a coach, you know, we're always getting such good positive feedback from you all. And it's like, okay, but what if, you know, what if for some reason that just stopped all of a sudden?
Yeah.
You know, what if you never, you know, heard any, any applause or any, you know, any positive feedback, how could you just on your own through your thoughts and feelings, just be okay in terms of, you know, where you were and what you were, you know, achieving? I mean, really the word, you know, achieving is something that you do. It's not something that, you know, is based on, you know, external sources. You know, we get to define what achievement means. Mm-hmm. And so I think it'd just be interesting for you to say, okay, if all that was gone, you know, how would I need to think and feel to just be okay and feel worthy and, without any sort of, like you said, external mm-hmm. sources of validation? How can I validate myself?
Yeah.
And, so those are just really good questions to ask. Just take each one of those, do a big thought download, you know, just even write, list out thoughts that you want to practice, feelings that you want to feel, and, mm-hmm. And just, you know, start practicing them. And, but it's also just, you know, really separating yourself from all this external stuff, because really the external stuff is just the, you know, the sea lion. Like I said, there's always that thought. And so, you know, how could you feel
without that? It's good, at least, that this has sort of made me realize that and sort of identify, like, okay, I think this is actually what's going on. And so sort of,
because it's like, you know, it's not like somebody, you know, it's not like you, somebody claps and you feel, you know, good.
No.
Like there's always, you know, just thinking of the model, there's always that thought in there. So, and you can have that thought anywhere, anytime, in total, complete silence, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just really interesting to think that we always have the power, you know, we always have the power to control our feelings. And, but it just takes practice and takes, you know, finding thoughts that really resonate with us that we can, you know, come to believe over time.
Yeah. And do you think that it's a good idea to find like bridging thoughts for now, sort of things that are like, not beating myself up, but, you know, I think if you jump to like, you know, I'm totally worthy and all this, it's too far.
Right. And that's, well, and the other thing is, if we go on down the model, so yes, so bridging thoughts, you know, I'm working on believing, or there's just some really good, we need to have, I'm not sure where they are. I know there's some, I think in that we talk about that in the success path in the Fat Girl Thinking module, the thoughts module. So look in there, because that talks about all the bridging thoughts in there. But it's also like, I think this, and that's okay. You know, that kind of stuff, where it's just being very compassionate with yourself that, you know, whatever you're thinking right now is okay. And then just gradually leveling up and just kind of opening your mind to like, maybe I could believe some new things, but it's going to take practice and that kind of stuff. But then when you go on down the model, like you can put worthy, you know, in the feeling line. And then what are your actions that you're going to do when you feel worthy? And you can go ahead and start doing those actions. And that goes back up, you know, eventually improves that thought tree. So it's like you're in action, you know, even if you don't quite believe the thought yet, you're still doing all the actions, you know, you need to do
to
feel that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So it's just like getting a really good model going. And then, but the key is always getting into action and, you know, and it's like, okay, I'm going to act as if I believe that I'm worthy. And that's how you build that worthiness over time.
What would you guys see in that model?
Let's see. You could put, well, let's see. So if you want to feel worthy, well, let's just work it real quick. Let's see. What do you want to feel worthy of, or what do you want to feel worthy about?
Even that's such a good question. I think I just want to feel somehow of value to people. I guess that's maybe the...
I mean, it's almost like you could do... you almost might need to kind of play around with it. I mean, you could literally just put like my life, you know, But then you could also kind of divide that out into, you know, the areas of your life where, mm-hmm. and that would be a really interesting exercise just to, are there areas of my life where I feel worthy already?
Yeah.
Or feel valuable, feel, like I'm making a contribution or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then, but are there areas where I'm not? So, yeah. And then maybe even do a separate model with that up in the C-line, mm-hmm. You know, but you could put, let's say for your, even like you could just put relationships.
Yeah.
You know, like that might be one area. And then, you know, your career, but I would just start there.
Yeah.
And then you can always get like more specific. Mm-hmm. As you go in terms of, you know, what you really want to feel in what kind of ask yourself, in what circumstance do I want to feel worthy?
Yeah.
And maybe go from there. So
yeah,
just to kind of, and again, that's something that, you know, that's kind of not something you would normally ask yourself. So it's just you know, kind of opening up your mind to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Perfect. Anything else?
Yeah. That's great. Thank you very much.
All right. Sounds like time to get to work.
Thank you, Bessie.
All right. See ya. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Lori, we got a few people lined up here. Okay. I got to make a list, y'all. Okay. Lori, let me pull you up. And we'll get going. Let's see. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh,
there you are.
There's my head.
I can only see about half of you.
There we go.
All right.
You kind of have me. There. Okay.
There you go. That's better. All right. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes. What's going on?
So I posted yesterday and you responded and said, get on the call today. So
okay, I'm good.
On the call today. And I think what you had shared with me is that I didn't love myself, which is probably pretty true. Mm-hmm. But there's parts of me that doesn't love myself. And so yeah. So here I am.
Okay. Kind of remind me what you posted about.
So I signed up, I just started and I haven't gotten myself into gear. I've been to the videos. I've been listening to the podcast, all the calls, doing the materials. I'm only into just started in the no BS path. I'm just in that module. Mm-hmm. But I've yet to actually do a 24-hour plan or do what I need to be doing.
Okay.
And I've done every diet under the sun. I have a whole library of diet books and comes right down to probably kind of like the previous caller and saying, maybe I don't feel worthy to do this. But there's some disconnect between saying I want to lose weight and believing in myself or loving myself enough to actually do it.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So now I remember now, cause you had posted your pictures, right?
I did. And I said, they were awful pictures. Yes. And you said, don't say that, but I still think they're awful pictures. Yes.
Okay. So, what I was saying, cause you know, we always kind of tell everybody, it's like, you can't come from a place of, you know, disgust or hate, for your body. When you really want to lose weight and keep it off. Because it's this thought that like, well, when I lose weight, you know, everything will be great. I'll love myself, you know, I'll like myself more. I'll, you know, like what I see in the mirror and that kind of stuff. And so it's really all about that, kind of self-acceptance where you are right now and working on not beating yourself up about where you are right now. And again, this is not just, you know, you have to figure all that out before you can start losing weight.
Right.
That conversation needs to be happening just in terms of, What if I'm exactly where I need to be right now? You know, what if nothing has gone wrong, that I am just exactly where I need to be at the weight that I'm at, so that I could find PNP and that I could, you know, really do this for good this time and do it just, you know, in a different way than I've done it anywhere else. And so what comes up for you when I say that? Like, what if you're just right where you need to be right now?
Immediately, what came up was, no way, I can't possibly be, this cannot possibly be where I'm supposed to be right now. And it's like a, I don't want to say panic feeling, but I can't accept that feeling. That's a wrong answer.
Okay. So there's definitely some resistance coming up for you, right? But the reality is that you are here right now.
I am.
Where you are.
Yes.
So why would you want to, you know, panic or resist, I mean, where you are right now, right? Because it's like, mm-hmm. it's that, you know, just wanting to kind of get out of the situation as quickly as you can, but it's just, you know, starting a new plan like that is, it's like you're kind of setting yourself up for, you know, not being real successful probably.
Oh yeah. I mean, I could get, write the book. I could, yeah. I could coach anybody on how to follow any of those diet programs. Yeah.
So it's happened before. So one of the best thoughts that I had when I was doing this, when I was losing weight for the last time, was I'm just going to do something different this time. I'm just going to try it differently. I, you know, I'm not really buying into all this yet. I have a lot of doubts. I was telling people at camp, one of my favorite quotes that I found just online somewhere was, I doubt it, but I do it.
Oh, I love that. I'm going to write that down. Yeah.
So I went through a lot of my weight loss doubting that this was going to work, that this was going to, you know, that this was somehow going to be different. But I knew that I was doing something different in terms of, like, you know, I wasn't hungry all the time. I wasn't, you know, beating myself up all the time and that kind of stuff. I mean, that's, PNP is different, you know, but, I just kept doing the actions, doing the four basics. I just kept doing them. Even when I said, I don't know if this is going to work. I don't know, you know, this lady is crazy, you know, all this stuff. But I just said, you know what, I'm going to, I can have doubts. That's okay. And that was the other, I mean, I just was like, I'm not going to beat myself up over it, you know, anymore. I can have doubts. There's nothing wrong with doubts as long as I am still doing the actions. And then gradually over time, when I started to see results, and, you know, you've seen in the Facebook group, you know, people are getting results left and right. So, but it's like when I started getting results and I realized I wasn't, you know, the special unicorn, that I could, you know, do these basics and get results too, then I gradually, you know, the doubt just kind of gradually went down, you know, and it may, you know, it doesn't ever go away completely, I don't think, but it does make it easier and easier to just keep doing the actions that you know you need to do.
That's one of the things that I drive myself crazy with is, there's a disconnect as to, I say this, so why won't I do it? Just do it. And there's just like this block that comes up.
So when you say block, what do you mean? Like you can't, I mean, like when you sit down with, like, do you have a piece of paper and a pen to do your plan? Do you get that far?
I don't even get that far. I got the planner. I bought it. It's sitting right here. Beautiful. Okay. Yeah, all of it. And it's always, oh, but it's like there's this fear of committing.
Right.
If I actually do it, here's what comes up. Oh, Lori, you're just going to fail anyway. You failed at all these things. So why are you going to do this one more thing and fail?
So what's the alternative to you just writing down your plan and failing?
What happens if I do that?
What happens if you don't do that?
If I don't do that, then I'm going to continue to feel miserable and probably continue gaining weight.
So even writing down the plan and failing is a better alternative than what's going on now, right?
It is. Yes. That's good.
So let's weigh the two. And the one that's, you know, at least maybe going to like teach you something. And, you know, like I said, all these other people are losing weight doing this stuff, you know, imperfectly. We never told you you had to do it perfectly. So how about you commit and you can, you know, be accountable to me. You can tag me or whatever.
Okay.
Commit to a, can you commit to a week of doing your plan?
I can do that.
And I mean, I don't care what's on it. I don't care if you follow it. I want you to just literally put pen to paper in that shiny new planner that you have.
That I love. It's right over here. It says do something amazing.
It's over there. Just, you know, it's just waiting for you to put some, you know, some ink on it. And yes, I mean, literally, like, you don't even have to follow it. I mean, I just want you to, I mean, I just want your, because this is the process. I mean, it just gets your brain thinking and practicing, hey, what might we eat today? You know, let's just start thinking about it.
Maybe. Oh, that's a good way. What might I eat today?
What might you eat today?
Okay.
And then, so you put that down. Don't worry about any of those other. Don't worry about the goals, the question of the day, nothing about that. Because if you saw my planner, you would see, you know, that's not filled out every single day perfectly. You know, my priority is to get that food in there. And so don't worry about that other stuff yet. You know, if you want to work on your water or whatever, you know, you can. I mean, how do you do
on? I have actually been doing that. I've been working on the water. Yep. Okay. I've been doing that.
Okay. So like water, what about your sleep?
Those are the two things I've actually been doing. Yes.
Okay.
Drastically changed the sleep.
Okay.
Yep.
So now we're just focused on this third basic, the 24-hour plan. And again, we're not even going to worry about hunger scale yet.
Okay.
Just a week of writing out a plan. And then, but I also want you to do the assessment at the end of the day.
Okay.
And assessment is not a reason to beat yourself up. Not a reason to say, you know, I did it wrong. It is just, how can I learn from this today to get a little bit better the next day?
Okay. So
you're going to write down everything you ate, whether it was on the plan or not. Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then just ask yourself, there's a little notes section underneath the assessment page. And it's and you can just say, what did I learn today from my 24-hour plan?
Okay.
And then the next day you will make a new plan kind of based on that information that you learned the day before. So it's like, okay, my plan wasn't realistic. I want to have, you know, ice cream at night, or I want to have, you know, a snack in the afternoon. I mean, right now I am not worried about weight loss. I'm not worried about, you know, hunger scale or anything. I'm just making a realistic plan. So,
okay.
So what comes up for you when you think about putting like ice cream on the plan or, you know, whatever else?
At first that is, oh, I can't do that. That's not a good food. Mm-hmm. But then after bed, all the stuff I've been listening to, what comes up is freedom. Like, oh, okay, I can do this.
Yeah.
So it's like, if it's almost like, that block that I said,
yes,
it's placed. There's cracks. It creates cracks in the block.
Yes. Yes. Because you could literally not change one bite of food that you are eating right now. All you're doing is just writing it down, and it's becoming conscious to you. It's becoming, you know, totally just in your full awareness now. And that is the first step. That is and you have to go through that step before you can ever get to where you eventually, you know, level up.
Right.
And move into other choices. So it's just about, you know, just being honest with yourself about what is going on right now. And that's where, like I said, we're kind of that acceptance comes in of, okay, this is me right now. These are the choices I'm making right now. And that's okay. You know, and it's just, I'm just becoming more aware and more conscious of it. And then, you know, I'm moving towards a better version of myself, you know? But I am accepting of myself right now, even if I don't, you know, love myself yet or, you know, just think I'm, you know, all that right now.
Right.
I'm just being honest with myself about what I'm doing and the choices I'm making.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, that's good.
Okay. The other thing, and so this is kind of a bonus thing. I'm not sure if I told you about the self-love course in Facebook.
No, but I saw somebody in my post mention that.
Yes. It's a great little bonus course. It's not very long.
Okay.
There's some calls that you can listen to, but just don't, you know, that's extra. So I want
okay.
you to know your priority is just to do this plan, even just for the next week. And if you, I want you to, you know, eventually commit to longer, but I want you to do it for a week and then check back in with me either, you know, just through Facebook and you can tag me or on, I'm not sure when I'm doing office hours. I'm doing them on Tuesday, but then I don't know when I'm doing it again, maybe not for another week or so, but anyway,
okay.
But just, that's your focus right now. But if you have some extra time, go for it with the self-love stuff too. But, you can even just as simple as just ask yourself on the question of the day thing in the planner, how can I, accept myself today? How can I love myself today? And just get your brain going on that too. Just
oh, good.
Just to get your brain working on it, not any any big you know, homework or anything like that, but just to
right.
Amazing. Those questions are just amazing at opening up your brain just throughout the day. You could even like put a sticky note, you know, somewhere on your car or whatever, just to actually, I have a reminder thing on my phone where I put my question of the day in my phone and like at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it'll remind me because by that time of the day, I've forgotten what my question is a lot of the times, So, yeah.
So that's, and how do you come up with your question? Just,
well, they're, I mean, I have some that I like, you know, to ask pretty often, but there are a bunch of threads. So there's one of our daily posts each week is question of the day. And so if you go into Facebook and search question of the day, I think it's under hashtag question of the day.
Okay.
I think you can probably go back and read all the ones from the last, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. people have so many ideas of what you
oh, good.
Do. Yeah, yeah. So there's a million ideas there. Or just search question of the day, and there should be some threads that should come up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
So, yeah, and a lot of people, you know, it's not like you have to have a new one every day. If one mm-hmm. is working for you and it's, you know, it's opening up your mind, then just keep using it. Another one I like is how can I have my own back today? Like, you know, how can I just kind of support myself today?
Oh yeah, that's good.
Yeah. So it's all, you know, how can I, you know, have some self-care today or care for myself today? How can I be compassionate with myself today? You know, whatever mm-hmm. words kind of, resonate with you.
Okay.
And then you can always just sit and journal on that, you know, just ask mm-hmm. yourself and just sit and kind of come up with some ideas. You can put those in the notes section of your planner and stuff like that. So.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
yeah, that's good.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to do this.
All right. Well, keep me posted.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Lori.
Okay.
Bye.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Let's see. Week of 24-hour plans. Okay. Christina. Hi. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
I don't even know. I feel like I just want to talk.
Okay, start talking.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I did a really good assessment today of like my month. I just started in January. And I'll probably really cry and I don't have a reason to. I just might.
Oh, we'll figure out a reason.
Anyways. So I'm just, you know, whatever. But anyhow, so I, you know, am having a good time, I guess, like going through all this process and everything. I'm going through my no BS path and everything, and I'm not perfect at all. let's see, I haven't been doing my 24-hour plans all week. I've had a crazy hell week at work, and it's not an excuse. Right. I'm doing the, like, in my head 24-hour plans, you know?
How's that working and for you?
I'm sorry?
How's that working for you?
Well, of course I don't follow them because... And I know better because I've been a groupie for a while before I joined the tribe, and I have my little Evernote that I put my 24-hour plans in. And I kind of think I don't want to use the word gave up because I'm trying to use my words wisely, but mm-hmm. I've slacked off this week.
Okay. So yes. Have you done a plan for today?
No.
Okay, we're going to do it right now.
Okay.
We're going to do it right now.
Okay, let's do it.
Corinne or somebody did this with somebody on a call, mm-hmm. and it was fascinating to watch. I think you don't sound like you're, you know, you sound like you're up for it.
Oh, yeah.
The person was like, really? Right now? I have to do this right now? So I think it would be good for us to go through this, and everybody else can kind of see, like, you know, because some, you know, there's so many, you're obviously not alone, right? Where people are like, oh yeah, I couldn't possibly do that. I mean, it's going to take too long. It's going to, okay.
No, so, I mean, I have gotten down to like the 2-minute,
okay,
you know, 24 hour plan. It's just, I've been slacking. I think I'm using stress from work as an excuse, right. And I don't know how to redirect myself. And I think that's why I'm here.
And so it's just literally like you redirect yourself by doing a plan.
Okay.
I mean, it's just, that's as simple.
That easy. Like,
I mean, yeah, because I think you're making it harder than it is. I mean, you think you need to have like some wonderful thought for you to do your 24-hour plan. And it's like, right. No, we're just getting back on. We're just getting back at this. We're just going to get back at this.
And okay. Like,
it doesn't matter that it's been 30 days or whatever. We're just going to get back to this. It's going to take 2 minutes, and it's going to, oh my gosh, I'm going to feel so much better afterwards. Okay. So what is on your plan for the rest of the day?
Okay. So water.
Water.
For sure. I had Kodiak pancakes and peanut butter for my first meal.
Okay.
Lunch.
Do you have like a pen and paper?
Yes. Okay, right here. You got it.
Write it down.
Okay. So I just got my groceries delivered. I was going to make chili and a huge kale salad for the week. I can just do it today instead of tomorrow. Okay. I'm going to do a kale salad for lunch. And for dinner, I am going to, and I'll probably have a protein on that. I make my 24-hour plans like very simple.
Yes.
Anyhow, so with a protein. And then for dinner, I'm going to do a Chipotle chicken that's been marinating. Chipotle chicken. And
your house.
Anytime. And I have asparagus, so I'll have that as a veggie. And more water. And I don't know, I might have a glass of wine.
Okay. Well, just putting on your plan, right?
I'm putting it on the plan. Okay.
Done.
Done. 30 seconds. Imagine that. That was just, you know, twisting my arm here.
But yeah, so that is, I mean, this is for everybody, right? It's like, that is it. You're back on plan. You
yes.
And like, mean, it didn't have to be like from the beginning of the day. It didn't have to be, you know, perfectly written in some sort of planner. It could be written on a napkin or whatever, but it's just like, okay, now your brain is freed up. Like it knows what's eating. So move on.
Yes. Thank right. you. It's okay. just, you know, I feel like if I don't do it in the morning at my allotted day or like the night before and do my assessment, then it's just, it's over. And then it's just like, okay, tomorrow.
And that's your poison thought right there. Is that,
yeah.
That's, I mean, and that's your definition of perfect. Like it needs, you know, the perfect definition is that it has to be done in the morning and you have to do your assessment.
Right.
Like how about if just a perfect plan is one that is done?
Yes.
No matter what.
Okay. That's helpful.
No matter like what was, you know, done in the past.
Yeah, that's very helpful because I feel like I think that that's where I'm missing out. That it's like, oh, I missed my 24-hour moment today. So too bad.
Yeah. Yeah. See, that's not, I mean, and it's like, what was I just about to say? I mean, it's almost like stopping an overeat, like in the middle of an ovary, where it's like, I can stop whenever I want.
Anytime.
And you can also start wherever you want, you know, in terms of, and it's all about meeting yourself where you are. Like if you are just in the middle of the day today, that's where you are. That's where you're ready to get back on plan. Then that's where you get back on plan, because it's just the whole perfectionism and thinking that it's got to be a certain way. That's what will get you every time.
Okay. I got it.
Yeah. So you got it. And then, you know, and then now you can like level up, right? You can say, okay, you know, this is great. I've got the rest of the day planned, but then I'm going to get back at my, you know, did you have like a normal time, a regular time where you did your plan?
Yeah. Like usually at night, like I wind down and I try to make it to where I can't fail, you know? And so I'll put my laptop next to my computer, next to my bed. And every day I'll get to bed 30 minutes early. And then I have a moment to like PDL and do my assessment and do my 24-hour plan for the next day.
Right.
And I moved my laptop. It's not in my room anymore. So now I don't do it. And now it's just,
crazy when it's just like, you realize it's just a little bitty thing like that.
Yeah.
Got you out of the, you know, the pattern.
Well, yeah. I mean, I got my planner in and I'm like, ooh, I'm going to do my pretty little planner every day. And so I just haven't gotten there. It's so pretty. And I've written in it, you know, a couple times, but then I just don't. But I think I was used to that laptop, but yeah. I'm so excited about the planner.
Well, and
but I'm not accomplishing anything because.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like that planner is supposed to be, I mean, if the planner doesn't work for you or whatever, or just doesn't work for you right now, I mean, go with what's working for you.
Yeah.
Whatever is, you know, is you know, having you do the plan.
Right.
Do it. But I was going to say one other thing, but I don't remember. But yeah, okay. So you said you had kind of a stressful, you were having stressful work and stuff. Did you have some thoughts like, well, I'm stressed at work. I don't need to do my plan, or like, I don't have time to do my plan, or?
I mean, probably a little bit of that. I don't have time to do my plan. It's like, I don't even have time to go pee at work. I'm not going to die, you know? And
the reality is, this is what I was going to say, was that the reality is that having the plan makes everything easier, right?
Yes, and it does.
Your brain up for being able to focus on work and being able to,
yes.
You know, like, you know, if you've got very limited time, then, you know, it's all, that's all easy and done and decided. And so it's like it's a tool for you.
Yes. You know, I posted a little bit about my, like issues with work the other day in the tribe, and some of the ladies really did a really helpful job helping me get some ideas on how to, it's just, you know, I got a new position. I don't have any training. Whatever. Long story short, I'm getting constantly interrupted for things that people need. Mm-hmm. And I don't have a boundary, like in between. I'm either like, absolutely, I'm so happy to help you. What can I do for you? To, I swear, if you get into my office, I'm going to cut you. So I don't have a medium. And I feel like when I do say, you know, I don't have time for this right now. Can we talk about it later? I feel like my translation is, you are not important. I don't have time for you. And I have to do things that are important. So I don't know what's a good medium without having that thought in my head to tell people to get away.
It's like deciding what thought you want in your head, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because I swear Corinne or somebody was coaching on this very same thing. And it was like, you know, people are going to think whatever they want. I mean, you decide what you want to say, and then people are going to think things. I mean, that's reality. You know, you can't control that, but it's like, you want to like your thought about why you said what you did.
Yes. I mean, this is a very big people pleasing issue that I have. And so, I try.
Yeah. So it's like, you just decide how you want to handle this.
Mm-hmm.
But come from a thought of, you know, I'm doing what's best for me and the company and my job and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have to keep practicing that thought, even though, you know, thoughts are going to come up like, well, you know, I don't know what they're thinking, or, you know, they're thinking I'm being, you know, rude.
Yes.
Or whatever. But it's like, that's trying to get in somebody else's brain. And, you know, sounds like you don't have time for that. Right.
Yeah.
It's like, you just got to do what's best for you. So,
right.
Yeah. So, yeah, so that's definitely something to work on in terms of working on that thought.
Yes. And
you want to like,
Yes, I think that I'm using my lack of focusing on PNP with work. You know, I don't know how to say that, but I need to refocus on the PNP. I feel like work, I don't care. You know, like I care about it, mm-hmm. but that's not what I care about myself more. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to redirect my brain to be like, work is work. You need to have that separation. And when you're there, you care about it. And when you're not, get it out of your head.
Yes. Yes. You know? And that's kind of the term we use is constraint on that. Mm-hmm. With that, it's like you want to constrain your brain to like, when it's time to work, I'm working.
Yes.
And when it's time to do PNP stuff, I'm doing PNP stuff. But it's like, you know, and then, I mean, and when you have your plan set, you know, you're not worrying about PNP stuff anymore. All of it's, you know, all of it's set and decided. And then now mm-hmm. you can focus on what you need to focus on in that.
Yes. Place.
And so just constrain yourself to what is the priority in this moment.
Right.
Or what is my choice, you know, in this moment that I've decided yes. to do, and what do I need to focus on right now? And
so, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's my biggest fear is that like that I'm going to slack off and just not come back, you know, or, you know, just not refocus. Really,
you're not stepping away when you've got your plan made.
Yes.
It's almost like you're kind of carrying PNP in your back pocket mm-hmm. all the time. Right?
Yes.
You're always,
oh, yeah.
it's always there with you. So, you know, don't, you know, you can choose not to see it as like, you know, slacking off. Even if you literally, like this would be an interesting exercise for you probably. Like okay. just say, okay, this would, you know, this week, you know, I've got all this stuff at work this week. I am only going to do my 24-hour plan every day. I'm not going to look in the Facebook page. I'm not going to watch any lives. I'm not going to do any of this stuff. Like, I'm just going to follow the four basics. And, you know, PNP will be there when I'm ready to come back. Because it's like, you're not, if you're focusing on the four basics, you know, you're not slacking off, right? You're not.
Right. I mean, I feel like that was my assessment over this okay. week. You know, was like, okay, I don't have a 24-hour plan, but my 24-hour plan is do the four basics, you know, like, you know, drink my water, get my sleep, you know, do my 2-to-2 mm-hmm. and as much as I can. And of course, I'm not doing the planning, but I will be doing the planning. It's just, yes. you know,
it takes like 2 minutes and then it's
right. And I, you know, overall, when I've assessed this month, I'm like, you know what? I've had a 5-pound loss. I had a gain last week. I know the data mm-hmm. was no data and that's why I probably had that gain. But overall I had a 5-pound loss. So, I mean, I can't complain.
No,
so,
you're just, you know. You're doing it. You're working it. And so just, yeah, I think for you, it's probably like just kind of trusting yourself and being,
yeah.
you know, and believing in yourself that you can do this. You know, it works, mm-hmm. but it's just, you know, really exploring that fear that you have that, you know, something's going to come in and kind of, you know, mess things up or just cause you to, you know, to slack off or to quit or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, I mean, you've already experienced it, right? Where you're like, you were on it. You had a loss mm-hmm. and then you kind of, you know, have slacked off and been, but now you're right back at it again.
Right.
That is the reality of this journey is that it's always going to be, you know,
up and down.
But as long as you just don't ever quit.
Oh yeah. No, that's not an option.
Yeah. So you got it. So there's nothing to be Great. Afraid of.
Great. Thank you so
okay.
much.
Okay.
Wonderful. Thanks so much.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, Tammy. Write Tammy down. Hi, let me unmute you.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Okay. I'm okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Got to step outside, so.
Sure.
Cold here in South Florida.
Oh, how cold is it?
Well, it's probably in the 50s, and it's rainy and drizzly. Almost looks like our snow.
Florida.
Cold for us.
Yes.
Thank you for taking my call. So I'm new to the tribe, mm-hmm. and I've been a Weight Watcher forever. I did lose a lot of weight, dropped 155 pounds back in 2012. Mm-hmm. And dealt with some life struggling stuff at that point with my husband and some infidelity. So that kind of put me on a little downward spiral. And I still have some, we're together, but I still have some, I guess, thought errors in that department. And so trying to work on mostly the thought stuff. You know, I do meal prep. I do my meal plans, but I get, you know, derailed, I think, with the thought process. I'm trying to learn the model and get some of that down and, you know, dealing with my frustration with myself because I've put that wall kind of back up. And I think it was, I mean, it served a purpose because I've had some difficulty dealing with attention from men when I got to my skinnier weight. And my husband, I think, got insecure with that and didn't know how to deal with that as well. So that's the main thing that I'm trying to deal with. And we've been married 20, almost coming up on 27 years. So, you know, it's a big change. It was a big change for me and for him. And so that's where I'm at. Like all last year, I pretty much maintained the same weight, but I really would like to bust through this plateau and kind of get back down to where it was. I don't know that I want to go as low as I was. Because I was doing double workouts and I wasn't working full time then. And so I don't know how realistic that is with, and I'm not trying to use menopause as an excuse, but that's happening too. So my body's changed in other ways and emotionally that's, you know, impacted me as well. So I don't know where to begin actually with the models. I've been trying to do some of them, but I don't know, maybe you can pick my brain and get started with something.
So you said you thought you were having some thought errors about some things.
Yeah.
Kind of give me a specific example.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to let go of the thought that, that it's okay for me to get skinny. It's okay for me to be thin and that, you know, I mean, I can still have a marriage and be thin, do you know? I mean, he's remorseful for what happened and I, you know, believe in him and the trust is rebuilding. So I have to let go. I guess I have to let go of that, that I don't need to keep this wall on to make him feel better, to make me feel better. But I don't know how to turn that around in my brain, I guess is what I struggle with.
So, well, let me ask you this first. I mean, have you ever been thin in your marriage?
I was thin when we first started dating with high school. You know, I met him in high school. And then right after high school, just the weight started, you know, coming all up. So no, I mean, when I was married, when we got married, I was over 200 pounds. So he never had to deal with, you know, other men giving me attention. And I never had to really deal with it as an adult woman at all.
I think that's just important to kind of remind yourself that this is something that's new, right? This is just something that
exactly right.
So just giving yourself some, you know, kind of some patience there and some, you know, it's not something that's going to kind of happen overnight, but it's something that you can gradually kind of practice and work on. And I think because you posted in Facebook, didn't you? And I think I responded. Yeah. Where it's like,
I did. Yep. I did.
And it's also realizing that, you know, we can't control anyone else. Right. And so it's like, you know, kind of anticipating, kind of coming up with like some obstacles and strategies with all of this.
Okay.
You know, kind of thinking about maybe some experiences that you've had in the past where someone said something or did something and then coming up with a real specific strategy to deal with that when the time comes, just so that you're prepared in terms of, you know, and a really good thought that you could practice is just like, you know, I can do anything that comes my way. I can handle anything that comes my way. I can prepare myself for anything. It's not a matter of like walking around worrying that something's going to happen, but just be prepared. Right. If someone were to say something or, you know, react in some way, then I know what I'm going to say or what I'm going to do. If I'm going to, you know, just step away or if I'm going to say something specific. So what do you kind of think about that?
Yeah, I hear you. I just don't know how to shut it down. I don't know what to say. You know, sometimes I think that when I'm nice to somebody, they taken wrong, you know. Happen to be, you know, I deal with patients. I deal with mostly men patients, and sometimes I think that that gets, you know, misconstrued too. So,
and so I think with that, it's just really, I want you to do some writing here and like write about some specific situations in terms mm-hmm. of like how you handled it and then how you might want to handle it differently. But I okay. also think that it is, you know, for you, and I know you're new, I'm not sure how much you know about the, I know you're working on the models.
Right.
Everything that anyone says or does is just in the circumstance line, right? I mean, it's just okay. fact, it's not anything that you can, you know, you can change, right? And mm-hmm. so just recognizing that in terms of, you know, people are going to say and do whatever they want and think mm-hmm. whatever they want. And
right.
just, you know, it's just not a good idea for us to even, you know, worry about that just because we can't read other people's minds. We want to just, you know, it's enough for us to just focus on what we're thinking and feeling and doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. So let's kind of work on a specific example, if you can think of one, of how you did it.
Okay. Yeah. Something just occurred to me. So yeah. this is what happens sometimes.
Okay.
I'll have a plan to go do my exercise or lift weights or whatever, or even go for a run or go for a walk. And I've had to talk to him about this before my husband will want to come with me. And I struggle with that because I need to do that myself on my time. But then I think that sometimes he gets, I don't know, maybe that makes him feel insecure that I need to do that on my own. I'm not sure, but I've had to keep putting that boundary out to him. And then it makes me feel bad that I'm putting that boundary out too. So it's like, I feel like I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place with that. Okay, maybe you can help me with that.
Yeah. Okay. So that's a good example. So you think, so you want to go work out and he says, no, I want to go with you, but I want to go later. And you say,
well, like, let's say, so I run mm-hmm. and he's a runner. Mm-hmm. And he will say, well, I'll go out with you on a run. And I don't want that. I don't want to feel like I'm chasing him. I don't want to feel like I'm holding him back. I want to go at my own pace, at my own time. And he, you know, he keeps pushing me to try to do that with me. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how else to convey it. So then that makes me feel like I'm being a bitch almost, you know, it's like, but I don't know how else to convey that to him.
And I think for you, it is, I mean, it's not doing anything different. I mean, it's saying, you know, I really just want to go out by myself. And you can go mm-hmm. and, you know, you can say, you know, all that stuff you just said in terms of, you know, I don't want to, you know, try to keep up with you. I don't mm-hmm. We go at different paces. And so I'd really just rather go out by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And for you, I think it's almost like putting that in your circumstance line, that this is my
okay.
How do you want to think about that? How do you want to think mm-hmm. about that response to him?
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, you know, just I'm doing what's best for me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, and that's a thought that you probably need to practice that you don't necessarily buy into quite yet, you know?
Okay.
But it's just, I'm just doing what's best for me right now. And that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. Something where you say, you know what, this is my choice right now, or I'm doing the best for me right now, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay. And then how does that feel? How does that thought feel?
I guess it still feels like I'm being selfish.
Mm. So how do you want to feel about doing what is best for you?
I just don't want to feel like I'm selfish. I guess it's always been people pleasing and even to him that, but I can't keep putting myself on the back burner. I just can't keep doing that.
Yeah. So it's like, instead of selfish, what would you like to feel?
Proud that I'm taking care of myself.
Mm-hmm. Loving towards yourself.
Loving towards myself, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I even said, if I can just have that time to myself, then I can give more later, you know, but I just need that time. And when I was in the big losing phase, I worked part-time. I didn't work full-time. So I had more latitude where, oh man, when he goes to work on Saturday, I feel like I'm in heaven because I get to do what I need to do, but I don't feel like I'm taking any time away from him. So it's like a freedom, so to speak, you know.
And but here's the thing. I mean, you could always think, I'm not taking time away from him. I'm taking time for me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, it just kind of comes with practice where it's like, I'm taking time for me and I'm loving myself. And that comes from a place of love for myself.
Okay.
And he can think or feel whatever he wants.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a matter of like, you know, I'm taking care of myself first so that I can be the best, you know, wife to him later.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it just has, you just have to go through that over and over again, go through those, through that scenario where you have those thoughts come in of, oh, you know, he's going to think I'm selfish. He's going to think all this stuff. And then you think, no, you redirect your brain over and over.
Mm-hmm.
That, nope, I'm doing this for myself and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing this from a place of love for myself and I'm doing, you know, what's best for me. And you go out and do it,
mm-hmm.
and you still may have some of those thoughts and feelings come up. It may be really uncomfortable the first bunch of times.
Right.
But it's just going through that over and over again to where you build that evidence that, you know, when you come back and you have taken that time for yourself, that you are the best, you know, a better wife, and you are more focused and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. So
building evidence that this is working for you.
Right.
And he, again, may not be on board at first, but when you start coming back and you're a better.
Feeling refreshed, right?
Yes. When you're refreshed and you're, you know, able to focus on him and you all do things together and all that kind of stuff, he's like, oh, well, maybe this is, you know, eventually he may not, but mm-hmm. you can't depend on that. But
right.
you have to, because only you can, you know, can control you and your thoughts and your feelings. So
mm-hmm.
it's just a matter of kind of going through that and building that evidence that it is the right choice for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's okay. not going to be an immediate thing, but,
right.
You know, it's the good news is that, you know what's best for you and you know what you need to do.
Yeah. I have learned so much, right? Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a practice of redirecting your brain over mm-hmm. and over again.
Yeah. That's, yeah. was the reason for joining us, this whole thought stuff. So,
but just keep, you know, every time you do that, you know, I want you to write about it and really process it.
Mm-hmm.
And see if, you know, if any kind of new thoughts and feelings come up and all that kind of stuff and like, and what result did all of this create for you? You know, if it's creating the result that's what's key, right? If it's creating the result that you want, that you're refreshed and that you're the best version of yourself, then mm-hmm. it's working for you.
Right.
And, but another thing that I saw, we talked about at camp, and this is a little bit more advanced, but it sounds like you're kind of getting into the model work, that you could actually do a model from your husband's perspective and like think about what he's thinking and feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I shared with him a little bit of the life coach school and the model. So he knows about that, which is, you know, good to.
So you could put your words up at the top at the C, just like you would with your own model, but then mm-hmm. you could kind of do a model from his perspective. Like, what is he thinking? What is he feeling? And again, mm-hmm. you could change that, but it would just be really interesting. You all could even talk about it some, you
mm-hmm.
know, at some point. And it's like, what are you thinking when I say this?
Mm-hmm.
And I've done that with my husband where it's, cause I'm just, you know, interested to know how his brain works. And it's
right.
sometimes it's a lot more simple. It's a lot simpler than we realize.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Cause sometimes he'll say something back to me like, well, I wasn't thinking that at all.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay.
So that's the thing. It's like, we're worrying and putting all of these thoughts in their heads that aren't even there a lot of times.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's best to just ask them. And, mm-hmm. you know, so that would be interesting just to kind of do his model too and figure mm-hmm. out what's really, but again, that doesn't mean that you have to change anything.
Right.
but it's just, you know, kind of figuring out where he's coming from too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Thank you.
All right. Talk to you later.
Okay. Bye. Okay.
Bye. Okay. All right. Allie, yes. Okay, that was, Allie was our first one. I'm just going to check and see. Okay, we got a couple of questions. I'll do those at the end, but we've got some more time here and we got some folks lined up. Okay, Stephanie. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I haven't talked to you in such a long time. But I'm struggling with this week. I wouldn't say struggle. I did all of the hunger scale challenges, mm-hmm. and I felt really good about them. I even though I've done them in the past, for some reason I felt like I really connected with them this time, and I actually listened. I didn't just do them to do them.
Right.
And where my issue is on Friday, I had a much larger loss than what I'm normally used to seeing. And on Thursday, it was to wait until you're -4.
Right.
And I waited. It was almost, I had a cup of regular coffee in the morning, not even the bulletproof coffee. And I went until almost 5:30. And at 5:30, I had my lunch, which was just cottage cheese and fruit and a pack of tuna. Mm-hmm. And I went to bed and I was good. Well, right away when I stepped on the scale and saw such a big loss, my mind went to my old Weight Watchers days of, oh my gosh, you're going to have to go to a -4 every Thursday mm-hmm. so you can see that loss mm-hmm. on Friday.
Right.
Or I'm thinking right away that it's all going to be back next Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a model on it. I did a thought download. But already I'm anxious about next week, even though I know I'm doing everything. I'm doing my plans. I'm staying on track. But in the back of my head, it's that I didn't lose. It was just because I did the -4 on Thursday.
So I have to figure that's really true.
Well, when I think about it, if I only had coffee and cottage cheese and a pack of tuna, like part of me does think that that's probably a part of the big loss, you know, that I didn't have a breakfast, a lunch and a dinner on Thursday.
Now, do you believe that like when you step on the scale, that it is a direct representation of what you ate the day before?
I know logically, no.
Okay.
But I mean, I've worked with Kathy on this before too. The scale is such a nuance for me. And that's in the past, that's the only way I've ever related weight loss to doing well on a diet. Mm. And so when I don't see that scale move, or if it does go up, even if I've exercised like a fiend or whatever, I mean, logically I know. That's water retention or, you know, something like that. But I always have to fight those thoughts around the scale. So it's sort of, like I said, it crept right back in there of, oh my gosh, because when I would weigh in for Weight Watchers my years ago, it was always an evening weigh-in. And I would go all day without drinking anything and have a salad because I knew if I drank water that day, then the scale was going to be up. So I at least I recognized this way. I said, no, I'm not going to go to a -4 next Thursday. I'm not doing that. You know, I knew what the exercise was. I was astounded that I could go that long and really, you know, do well with it and not overeat at my dinner time. I was very proud of myself for that. But I was just surprised that, you know, I wasn't even happy for a 3.8 loss. Mm-hmm. I was right away, oh my gosh, what's going to happen next week?
Well, I think the first step is that you got this awareness, right? I mean, like that's,
yes.
I'm coming up with all these wins in the win column for you, where it's just, you know, you're totally aware of what's going on, of why, you know why these mm-hmm. thoughts are coming up. And so that's, you know, that's awesome. And that's, you know, definitely there in the win column. But I think where, and then I think, you know, you're just, I mean, you're saying a lot of things like that, you know, intellectually, right? And mm-hmm. it's just like, you know, you kind of know all this stuff, but I think the next step is for you to just kind of live this stuff that you know is true, in terms of, you know, that you don't have to, you know, eat nothing on Thursday. Mm-hmm. And so you just kind of have to prove all this other stuff true that you know intellectually, but you're having these other thoughts come up. And the whole thing is that, like, these thoughts will come up. How long did you do Weight Watchers, you know, or other diets? I mean, years and years and mm-hmm. years. Mm-hmm. And I think we have these, a lot of times we have these unrealistic expectations that, you know, that those thoughts are just never going to pop up again. And so another, you know, thing in the win column is that, you know, you're recognizing it, and and it's like, it's just being okay with that, in terms of, like, of course I'm going to have that thought right now because of all this history with Weight Watchers and stuff. And so, and that's okay, but I'm doing something different this time. I'm just like, you know, this is what I really want you. I'd like for you to just kind of make a list, because I was going to ask you this before you got into the Thursday thing, but like, what did you learn from the Hunger Scale Challenge? You know, that was, you know, from all the different things you did last week, in terms mm-hmm. of, you know, what worked for you and what you want to keep doing, just so you can really focus on what you want to remember, you know, from last week. But then it's like, okay, what did you learn from this Thursday that you can keep going, that, you know, that's not those thoughts that popped up right then, but, you know, like, what do you intellectually know that you kind of want to practice just believing in your bones? And so it's just getting all that stuff kind of out on paper. But I mean, again, it sounds like you know what you need to do, but it's just a matter of time in terms of, you know, building evidence that you don't have to do that. And so next week, you know, you're going to just do your plan normal. Mm-hmm. You're going to follow your hunger scale just like you always have. And then, you know, you get to weigh-in day on Friday. And what?
I'm really afraid of where my mind's going to go if the scale stays the same or goes up.
Okay, so that's what we need to work on. That's what we need to work on, because that was just about to say, you know, the scale is going to, I mean, the number's going to be the number. Mm-hmm. And so I want you to be prepared for every possible scenario.
Right.
And I want you to be practicing all week for every possible scenario, so that when you get to that, I mean, I want you to kind of think about, you know, go to your future self on Friday and, like, uh-huh. no matter what that number says, well, how do you want to think and feel about it?
Yeah, I did that with my model.
Okay.
I did for the feeling, I just said I wanted to be neutral, because I just want to get to that point where that number does not bother me. And so I don't want to be happy. I don't want to be upset. I just want to be right in that middle mm-hmm. ground. And that's what I put for my, I did the circumstance was my loss. And I put for my thought that I would have to think, you might see a gain next week, but remember, it's just data. And then my feeling was neutral. And then my action was, keep doing the basics and the TDLs and get coaching help.
Okay.
And then the result would be just to stay on track, and that you'll eventually see more losses. Mm-hmm. But it just doesn't, I mean, I wrote it, mm-hmm. but I just don't know that I will react that way if that happens.
You may not initially react that way, but that's where you, I mean, and that's okay. And that's where you, so I want you to really play this whole thing out. In terms of, like, okay, you know, let's say it's a game, right?
Okay.
And so where's your brain going to go first? You know, and then where do you want to redirect it after that? And, you know, where do you want to redirect it after that? And so it's like, it's not, you know, it's not saying, oh, I don't want my brain to go to where it always has gone for the last umpteen years, you know, but like that is just our brain working exactly the way it's supposed to, where it's like, oh, this is what we've always done. And then you practice something new, you do something new where it's like, nope, I'm going to work on, this is very like conscious and just feels weird. And you know, you're mm-hmm. not going to believe it yet.
Okay.
But it just takes the practice of like, okay, of course my brain is going to go to, well, there you go. You know, you should have eaten nothing yesterday.
Right.
And
right.
then you're going to say, nope, we're not thinking like that anymore, brain, because we're not on Weight Watchers anymore. We're doing something new. This is just, you know, this is just a number. I mean, I want you to come up with as many thoughts as you can. And do you do the Hello Scale worksheet?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I've been doing it.
So I would like for you to fill out that Hello Scale worksheet ahead of time.
Oh. Like,
as if the number was a loss. I want you to do three different ones. A loss, a gain, and staying the same. And how you want to think and feel and all of that ahead of time.
Okay.
So that when you get on the scale on Friday, you just pick your worksheet out, whichever number it is. And then you just practice saying, you know, you practice looking and, you know, and I want you to put, you know, where you think your brain is going to go immediately. Because it's like you're on to your brain now. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like you're in control here and you're on to it. And, yeah, I mean, and so you don't want to be surprised like you were before, right? You don't want to, you don't ever want that surprise anymore. And that's all about being becoming aware and conscious. It's like, you're not ever surprised that your brain goes to where it's always gone before. It's like, oh, of course, there it is. Well, you know, that funny little brain is just acting the way it's always, you know, supposed to. And then it's like, but I'm in control here and I can decide that I want to practice thinking it's just a number. And I would like to see you move beyond neutral and into something like, you know, I mean, when I hear you talk about like, you know what you need to do, you know what mm-hmm. works, that sounds like confidence to me. That sounds like openness to me. That sounds like willingness to me. So even kind of move, you know, work on moving into some words, some, you know, some feelings beyond neutral. But start with neutral for sure.
Okay.
So I know I'm throwing a bunch of kind of stuff out at you, but it's just like, just kind of, you know, just opening your brain up to like, you know, I don't have to just sit here and wait for Friday to see what my brain tells me. Okay. I can actually tell it what to think and tell it what to do, you know, and tell it what to feel. And, mm-hmm. You know, I'm not at the victim of the scale or of my, you know, I'm not the victim of the scale or of my brain.
Okay.
But again, all that just kind of comes with practice and over time. But well, I just think it'll be real interesting for you to do the worksheets.
The question I always stumble upon on the Hello Scale mm-hmm. worksheet, after you put, you know, that you had a loss or a gain, it mm-hmm. says that number, how does that number make you feel? Mm-hmm. Can you give me some examples of what I could put in that line? Because that's where I struggle all the time.
Okay.
You know,
what do you usually put in that blank?
Like for, I put for, yesterday's hunger scale challenges worked this week.
That's the thought.
I believe this number means, okay. And I put that the hunger, scale challenges worked this week. Mm-hmm. And then it said that belief feels, I think I sat there for 15 or 20 minutes mm-hmm. because I knew the hunger scale challenges worked, but I don't know how I feel about that because mm-hmm. in the back of my mind, it was, well, next week it's going to rebound. And I ended up writing down pretty good because I really worked the program, but I don't know that I feel pretty good about that number for working.
Well, what's so interesting is that really the purpose of the hunger scale challenge was not for y'all to lose weight.
I know. And, yeah. and that's why,
for you know, like just really get to know your body and your hunger signals and all that. So like that was almost kind of a
bonus,
you know, from the beginning. And so, but I'm thinking like, I mean, I like to come at, like, so just think about, you know, the scale. Like, I like to come up the scale from a place of curiosity, like fascination. I mean, I get on the scale and I see the number and I'm like, I wonder how that happened. Because, like, we don't know for sure, right?
Right.
And that's the other thing is, like, we do so much thinking and worrying about what produced that number. And we will never know exactly because there are so many different factors at play,
right,
in terms of, you know, what we ate, exercise, sleep, water, you know, all the, and so it's just like, oh, that's interesting. Okay. Move on. And so that's really where, so it's like curiosity, fascination. I mean, it could be neutral. I mean, you know, it can be totally, I mean, I almost kind of like, I see it neutral and then I kind of go with that curiosity where it's like, I wonder, but then I don't spend very much time even on curiosity because I'm just like, you know, I can review my data and know, and then, you know, and then just kind of move forward. So it's just like a point in time. It's, you know, even a coach that I work with said, you know, it's like, it's literally the measure of your gravitational pull on the earth.
Yeah.
You know, right. Something like that, right?
I teach that to my students.
Yes, okay. So it's just like, and we give it so much power over our mood, you know, over our emotions. Mm-hmm. And I've actually come in here on a live one day and I have this little bitty travel scale and I mean, it's almost like, it's just like the size of it's about this size of this book. And it's just like, I mean, I'm just like, this thing never did anything to me, but just like what it was built to do, just give me a number and move on. And so it's like, it doesn't have any more power than that. And so, yeah, it's like just, you know, kind of, you can envision yourself, you can, you know, just getting on that scale, seeing the number, and then, you know, what are the feelings that you want to feel? So just really just, I mean, and there are lists of feelings. I think in the No BS, that would be good for you to just kind of look at a list of feelings. There's also if you go onto the website and you search for feelings wheel, there is a diagram of
all. Yeah, I think you guys, I have that downloaded on my laptop. Well,
that would be really interesting, yeah, to just look at that and just think, ooh, are there any feelings here that I might want to feel when I step on the scale and see that number?
Okay.
So, and that's what's so fun. I don't know if it's fun, but that's what's so neat about doing the worksheets ahead of time because you can just decide how you want to feel.
Okay.
You know, and, you know, and again, it's not going to come immediately to you, but you can just decide. And then when you get on the scale and you see that number, you can just say, okay, this is what I'm practicing feeling right now. And it comes from the, you know, from this thought.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's just coming from curiosity, coming from, openness. And then the whole thing about weight loss is, you know, it's that downward trend.
Right.
And so every week is not going to be down. Every week is not, you know, so it's just over time. And so when we focus so much on this one day, that's what can kind of trip us up and get us in trouble. So
yeah,
you're just kind of thinking about the big picture.
Okay.
All right.
All right. I'll do that. Thank you.
Okay. We'll post on Friday in the weigh-in thread and tag.
Okay.
Want to and let me know how it went this week.
All right. Thank you.
All right. See you, Stephanie. Bye. Okay. All right. A few more. Watching my time here. And I'll stay over for a few minutes since I've, had the audio issues. Okay. Miss Briggs. Let's see who this is. Hello.
Hi there.
Hello. Well, it says you're on mute, but hold on a minute.
There we go.
Are you there?
Is it working?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yep.
Okay. What's your first name?
Leslie.
Leslie. Okay. All right, what's going on?
So I'm a newbie, mm-hmm. and I am struggling a little bit with kind of being mean to myself. Like, I'm very frustrated that what I feel like my results should be are not what's coming up on the scale. What you've talked about all afternoon, I feel like. But for me, I have never been a scale person. And I got one for Christmas. I said, okay, if I'm going to get into PMP, I need to just have this data and give myself this chance to show myself that I can do it. And then I had a good loss the first week. And then the last two, I have had 0.2 both weeks. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't even believe that I have changed so much of what I'm doing. And I've listened to so many podcasts about scale and weight and how I should be feeling. And it's just data and all that. But there's a part of me that's like, I don't understand why I'm beating myself up so much about it, where I want to see where everybody, I watch the threads on Facebook and I see how much everybody is losing, and I'm disappointed in myself, and I don't want to be disappointed in myself. Mm-hmm. I want to realize, like, this might just take longer for me than it takes for everybody else. And I have huge thyroid and Hashimoto's, like, not that that's an excuse, but like, I know in my mind that there's a reason that it takes me a little bit longer and I need to not beat myself up, but I just can't get out of my own head to get past that point. Cause today I just was like having a meltdown almost, where I'm like, don't give up on yourself. It's only 3 weeks, but
yeah.
I'm watching everybody else and I'm like, gosh, why aren't I having that same results? You know?
Okay. So first,
I guess my question is, how do I get past that point?
Okay. So, the first thing though, and this is for everybody who's listening, because I think it's so interesting that, like, you know, we do obviously measure, you know, one measure of weight loss is the scale, but I mean, you didn't have to buy a scale when you joined PNP, right?
No.
I mean, you know, it could have, like, you could have literally, like, I mean, you could even have participated in the, you can participate in the weigh-in thread, because, you know, we don't even really ask you specifically, do we? Like, what, whether you lost pounds or not, it's like, what are the actions? I mean, that's what's important, right? Are the actions that you're doing. And because if you're doing the actions that we teach, you will lose weight. But you absolutely do not have to measure it by pounds. You don't have to measure it. I mean, you know, you probably will want to measure it in some way, but pounds is just one of the ways. I mean, if you still want to measure something, it can be your measurements, you know, that we have you measure your body parts. But it's all of those non-scale victories too. And those are what those actions are that we have you list. And so, I mean, you know, you have some options here in terms of, and one option is to just not weigh anymore. I mean, that's not a requirement.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and then another option is just to work on, you know, your thoughts around the scale, your thoughts and feelings around the scale. But I think for you, you're putting all your eggs in that basket in terms of the number on the scale. And so it's totally opening up your mind to, okay, every Friday when I, you know, if I do choose to weigh, I'm also going to make a list of everything that, you know, that I did this week to move me towards, you know, this person that I want to be, this version of the person I want to be, or whatever you want to call this person. And it's almost like seeing, like, where do you want to get to? If it wasn't a number on the scale, what would you want? What are you trying to get to? Who do you want to be? How do you want to feel? So what, if I asked you that, what would you say?
I really, I want to be healthy,
mm-hmm.
and I want to be able to feel like I want to be able to feel like I fit. This is going to sound silly, I guess, but I want to feel like I'm not the biggest person in my group too. Like where, and when I take a picture that I can take one without feeling like, oh my God, that's horrible. Please do not post that. Like, or that kind of thing. Like, I want to feel like I could be myself and not have to cover up or be embarrassed of everywhere that I'm at.
Yeah. And what's so interesting though, is that all of that stuff you can have right now.
But so, I don't feel like I'm I don't feel like I can right now.
And that's okay, you know, but it's like, but I mean, because all that stuff you're talking about just comes from your thoughts, right?
Right.
So that's, and you're crying. Why are you crying?
I don't, I'm just really frustrated, I guess, with myself.
And I think probably some things are coming up for you. Like you said at the beginning of the call, you know, you're being hard on yourself, right? And like, when I tell you that, like, you can have so much of this stuff right now, it's like, it's hard to see that, you know, but it's true, right? Because I mean, you know, we know people that are of all kinds of shapes and sizes, right? That just feel amazing about themselves.
Right.
And it's not that number on the scale. You know, it's not the number on the scale.
Right.
But, you know, the reason that they're thinking and feeling a certain way is just because they're choosing it. So it's like, I don't say that for you, you know, for you to, well, you can take that, you know, you can just take it however you want, right? But it's like, it's just kind of mind-bending to think that, you know, it's not the number on the scale. It's all about, you know, what we're thinking and feeling. So, and so that's kind of, and so, you know, giving so much power to that number on the scale, we know is not what we need to be doing, because it's just, we're giving it way too much power. So I want you to just think about, like, okay, when you, this future version of yourself that, you know, feels good. Oh, are you there? Oops. Are you there?
I lost connection for a minute. Are you there?
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're sideways, but that's okay. Yeah, this future version of yourself, I want you to really think about her beyond the number, or like other than the number, you know, what does she do? How does she, you know, go about her day? What does she think about? How does she feel? And really just kind of envision your future self beyond just a number on the scale.
Okay.
Because I think for you, that's really important to do. Just kind of, you know, open up your mind, do some writing about that, and just how you want to what you want to be doing. And it's like, it all goes back to those five actions that we talk about in the weigh-in thread. Like, what actions is she doing that you could start doing right now?
Right.
And of course, it's the four basics and, you know, some other things in terms of, you know, maybe journaling or maybe exercise or things like that. And it's like, okay, how do I need to start, you know, acting as if I am that person in the future? And, you know, with all of that, we know from, you know, we know from seeing all these other people that the weight loss will come if you're doing the actions. You know, we don't know how quickly, we don't know, know exactly when, but if you just keep doing those actions that we, you know, teach you all, then the weight loss comes. But
well, and I think that's probably a little bit of it too, is I feel like I have been doing, like, the change is so much, and I almost think maybe it was a little, maybe I took it like it was gonna work right away and I would see it, and then being disappointed in myself and maybe working on, like, that part. And that's part of my, like, Hello Scale was huge about, like, okay, you have the TDL and that's your goal this week, is really, like, working on your mind and being nicer to yourself.
Right. And I mean, you said, you know, you've, I mean, you technically have lost, right, each week,
right,
just a little bit, but it's almost like you could think of it like, okay, I know what I need to do now to maintain my weight. You know, you haven't gained any, so you're basically maintaining and losing a little bit. So it's like, mm-hmm. that's a good thing, right? You know, you're not gaining anymore. And so you right. know what you're doing is working for you in terms of kind of stabilizing your weight. And then what can you level up just a little bit to kind of get the weight loss going again?
Well, and I think that's a little bit too, like where it's hard. It's like, I have been making sure that I'm not making my plans I'm making them very realistic, mm-hmm. but I'm not like everything on there has been realistic, but healthy choices. Mm-hmm. And that's what I mean. Like I've cut so much of my, even like let's say weekly drinking or all that out of it. And I was like, I can't believe that all of this has changed so much in 3 weeks. And I'm just not getting to the point where there's at least some relief of, okay, here you go. It is working. Like I get that I'm not gaining anymore, but that's what's hard for me is it's like, wow, am I going to have to cut back even more?
Well, and I mean, I would suggest that you not do that yet. I mean, I would say, mm-hmm. but literally if you kind of, you know, I can see it from this place of you are only 3 weeks into this, you know, and it's like, you've just got to give it more time, you know, in terms of, I mean, it's such a common thing for a lot of you newbies who are like used to starting something new and having like big losses at the beginning. But we are different. For a lot of people, that is not the way this works. And that can be kind of a rude awakening for some folks because they want these big losses at first because you are just thinking all these choices that you're making are these big changes, but right. it's, you know, those are just your thoughts about what changes you're making. Right. I mean, in terms of mm-hmm. you're just getting, you know, you're making some changes just to kind of get your body. I mean, your body, even if they are big changes, I mean, your body needs some time to adjust and to like figure out what's going on here. And so it's right. a matter of like just giving your body some time to kind of adjust and then it will eventually respond. So I would suggest that you not make any changes in terms of like, you know, cutting back over anything else. I mean, commit to like another, I mean, if you're 3 weeks at least maybe like 6 weeks, just do what you've been doing. You know, don't work on, you know, changing anything on your protocol or anything yet, because it's just coming from a place of, you know, I want this to happen faster. I want this to happen, you know, like other diets where, you know, I had all these big losses at the beginning. And that's just, right. I mean, that's just how we're different. But we're also different because people are losing weight and keeping it off.
Right. So, no, and that's why I decided to join totally 100%. Because I was like, I don't want to do this again. This is, yeah. I want it to be right. And I'm okay with it being slow. But I was like, oh my gosh, this is ridiculous.
But I mean, it is, so. I mean, but it's like, it is slow. I mean, what you're doing, I mean, you're still losing a little bit every week, but that's just what it's doing. It's being slow. It's not being, you know, it's just being exactly, you know, what it's supposed to be. So, mm-hmm. you know, you can think of it as just, oh, okay, this is working exactly like I thought it would. And that's okay.
Just because, change my mindset.
Yes, because, you know, like this is different this time. This isn't Weight Watchers. This isn't anything else, keto or whatever, where all this weight comes off it fast. That's not how this works. And that's okay because I'm losing all these 0.2s and everything. They're going to add up and I'm not going to be gaining them back at the end.
Right.
So that's when you, and then you go, okay, so I'm not seeing it on the scale, but I'm seeing it all over here. All of these changes I made.
Right.
And are you feeling better? Are you, you know, you're probably feeling better. You're probably saving some money, you know, all this stuff. I mean, yeah. when the scale didn't reflect, you know, what I was doing, I was like, okay, what is working here?
I'm saving a ton of money because I'm not going out to eat every day. I just, all these non-scale victories, I just lined them up because that's okay. What, you know, I focused on when the scale didn't give me.
Okay.
A victory.
No, I appreciate that because that's what I just wanted to get to the point where I'm like, okay, you've got to stop beating yourself up. You have to get past that point.
But I think it's important for you to realize that, you know, just having all this awareness that you have, right, is new. And, you know, that just to not beat yourself up over, you know, all this awareness that you're having, and it's like, you're right where you need to be, but it's just, this is different. This is all new. And so it's just going to take some time for you to just get used to all of this and thinking so much and being aware of what you're thinking and all that stuff. So, so you're just right where you need to be as a newbie, where it's just kind of all coming at you. And then you want the results so bad, but it's just gonna take more time than you're used to. So you're right where you need to be. Like, nothing's gone wrong. And I think that's so important for y'all to remember. Like, nothing has gone wrong. Nothing has, you know, you're not broken. This is not, you know, like, not working for you. It's and that's where I think it would be good for you to reach out in the group. And find some folks right where you are, because there are, I mean, you know, we've got 1,300 or 1,400 new folks, and you are certainly not the only one where it's just not happening, you know, immediately for you. And, or, you know, or go to the weigh-in thread and find some folks where, like, you know, they either like stayed the same or they just, you know, lost a little bit like you did, and reach out to them and be like, okay, how are you thinking and feeling about this? You know, because I saw some posts in there and people are like, well, no weight change this week, but I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. And so go through that thread and reach out to some folks, or just even just read it and see if you can kind of pick out some thoughts that might work for you too. And that's where y'all can kind of support each other.
All right.
Okay.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. All right. Take care. Bye. See ya.
Bye. All right. Thanks.
Okay, Leslie. Okay. Ooh. Okay, Tanya and Melissa. That may be the last of them. Tanya Ruth. Okay, hello.
Hi. Hi, I just wanted some quick advice. Heading out for girls' night tonight, and I'm a September baby. I'm down 30 pounds.
Awesome.
I'm doing really good. I'm very proud of myself and getting rid of all the negative self-talk. But my main struggle in weight loss always is I use food and drinks as entertainment. And it's a big part of me, and I have a big social network. And so, but I enjoy that. And I've been trying to really wrap my head around, I can still go out to lunch, I can still go out to dinner, I can still go out to drinks and not actually do it. So I have a hard time with that. So like last night, yesterday I had a lunch with friends. I planned, I did well, I got home, I had friends over for dinner, and I planned 6 drinks. I probably drank more than the 6 drinks that I planned. Mm-hmm. And I was up on the scale, just talking about the scale again, you know, 2 pounds. And it's funny because it's like, I just know that, you know, looking at it as data, that when I drink, because I did great food-wise yesterday, as we're normally, I probably would have lost a 0.1 or a 0.2. I was up 2 pounds. So I know that alcohol is a big reason why I gain. So tonight I'm going out for a girls' night to celebrate my friend's birthday. And I'm trying to decide, do I realistically plan maybe only 2 drinks, or is that, should I just plan for 6? Cause I think that's probably what I'll do. You know, I'm trying to decide, cause I'm still not good at just going and sitting in my discomfort. I'm just having a hard time with that because I just, I just feel like,
I could hear it in your voice where you're like, only two drinks. No, I'm not buying that. So, I have a few things here. So first of all, well, let's just start with the drinks. So if you realistically think you're going to drink six drinks, put six drinks on your plan.
Okay.
Simple. I mean, that's what we're all about here is being realistic, but then it's also not beating yourself up, right? If that's what you think you're going to do, put it on your plan. And then, you know, you can always decide in the moment to drink less if you want to, but if not, they're on your plan and you're following your plan.
Okay.
So that's the answer to that. That's a real simple answer. But I wanted to go back to, you said like, you know, using food and drink is, as a source of entertainment for you.
Yeah.
And you said, this is a big part of me. And I want you to kind of, you know, watch what you keep saying, because it's almost like you don't have a choice, or it's something that you've done so long that
you
can't change it.
And yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I want you to kind of do some, you know, some writing about that, where it's like, you know, why do I think this is a big part of me? And but I also want you to kind of think, is that really true? Is it the food and the drink that is entertaining me, or is it the people that I'm with? You know, what is the purpose? And I've done a lot of my own work around this, like social situations. And it's like, I really have gotten it down to this weird level where I'm like, what are we all doing here? Like, why are we all here? Really, like, about this food? Or is it really about this drink? Or like, do we all actually want to like connect with each other? And is that, I mean, I've just got it down to this level, like way thinking it, where it's just like, it's really not about this food that is just sitting here on the counter, you know, and standing around and talking. It is us, you know, connecting with each other, finding commonalities, laughing, you know, whatever. And so, but I mean, that's taken me a while to kind of get to, but it's like, that's why we all, you know, why we all socialize with each other, is because we're humans and we need human connection and that kind of stuff. And then, but it's just over time, our society has just inserted these food and drinks, you know, into connection sessions.
You
know, just over time, just because. And so it's like, you know, and then I started thinking, you know, what would it be like if we just didn't have that, and we just said, oh, we're all going to get together, and like, we've already eaten, we might drink some water or whatever, but it's like, what would that be like? And I just, you know, I kind of just get real curious with it. But anyway, it's like, but really kind of breaking it down that way, I think it just kind of gets the drama, kind of pulls some of the drama out of it. And you see it as like, okay, what is really important? What is really, what result do I want at the end of this, like tonight, for example? And I think for you, that's important. Like, what result do you want? Well, I'll just ask you what result you want.
Yeah. See, I don't want to be up another 2 pounds. That's what I'm afraid is, like, I'm going to be doing good today, and then I had, you know, six drinks last night. And if I do that again, am I going to be up 4 pounds by the end of the weekend? You know? So,
right.
I definitely, so
like,
yeah.
That's one result. I mean, you want, like, you know, no more weight gain is one of your results.
Yeah.
So for you, it's like, you know, deciding, you know, you know, I was saying, you know, if you think you're going to drink six drinks, then you put them on your plan, but you could also decide, I'm only going to drink, or, you know, I'm not going to drink, or I'm only going to drink too many drinks. And then I'm also going to sit with my discomfort, because that's what it's going to take to really get you to ultimately to your goals. You know, it's like, it's almost like you're like, well, I'm not quite ready to do that whole discomfort thing yet. But really, that's not a step that you can skip.
Yeah.
Gotta come. And I will never forget when, so like, we used to go to this sometimes we still go. We used to go to this bar every Thursday night. And like, I thought, how could I ever just not drink like at this place? You know, how
could
I walk in? I mean, like they basically hand you a bar when you And I am at a point now where I usually don't, you know, don't drink and I don't, I just like, I have a bottle of water, you know, they have water for me and they have just bottle of water. But like, I had to get through some discomfort, some big time discomfort. I had to get through some like planning not to drink. And then I ended up drinking anyway, you know, all that stuff had to come in the middle. And right now, maybe you're just ready to, you know, just kind of try a little discomfort at first.
Yeah.
Plan fewer than you really want.
Yeah.
And you, you know, you kind of practice that level and then you kind of level up from there. So, because but it's all goes back to the result you want.
Yeah.
And if you don't want that scale to go up anymore, then you know what it's going to take.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Betsy. Thank you. I appreciate it. Right. Thank you. Have a good one. Bye.
Okay. All right, Melissa, you'll be my last one, and then I'll answer some Q&A. Hi. Hi, how are you?
Hi, good. Thank you so much for squeezing me in.
Sure. Turn you up.
So it's interesting. I've been listening to the almost all of the previous calls, and they're my situation I wanted to get coached on is related to that.
Okay.
Just looking at my notes. So it has to do with overeating and also a little bit of social situation and going off plan and not taking it too. And what my pattern I found is when I go off plan, I feel disappointed in myself and the judgment come in. I feel disappointed that I didn't show up for myself because I often can stay on plan. Like with the coffee, I haven't had the coffee.
I can barely hear you.
Oh, I haven't had the coffee.
That's better. Okay.
Like I can do things like that. But anyway, when I overeat or go off plan, then I feel disappointed. Then I have the urge to eat more, and sometimes I'm able to sit with that urge. I know it's the thought, and it has to do with, you know, that perfectionist feeling, and also I need to practice more self-acceptance and, you know, be okay with when I make a mistake. But when I add this with on top of being in a social situation or event where it's not the social situation that got me, it was more that I didn't have a set plan. My plan that I wrote was 2 to 2, and I kind of had a vague idea of what I knew what I was bringing, and I knew there would be alcohol, so I said no alcohol. So I didn't drink the alcohol, but I also didn't want to eat dessert, and I had some dessert, and I ate up to 2, and I ate more than what I said I would eat of what I brought. And so I was just, instead of feeling the discomfort, it turned into like knuckling. And I it was really hard for me. I tried, I paused, went to the bathroom. It was really hard for me to switch, to turn off that white knuckling, resisting it, feeling and just sitting it and watching it. And it almost felt like trying to just watch it and see what I was thinking felt like. That felt like white knuckling, like anything other than eating everything felt like white knuckling. And then I went home and I chose to eat more, but I was saying, oh, I'm choosing to eat more, and I ate more, and then I just felt so sick and even more disappointed. And so I wrote like 4 recovery worksheets and TDL'd on it, and all I can think of for, I know what all the obstacles are, and all I can think of for a strategy is to try to remember in that moment to come make a decision from a place of love instead of fear. But I don't always, I don't remember to do it in the moment. And I kind of get caught up in the spiral.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm out of, I don't feel like I'm in control, even though I know intellectually I'm always in control. But yeah, in that moment, I don't feel like I'm in control, and I just feel like it's futile.
It's almost like when you're practicing, like the white knuckling versus the allowing, it's like you kind of like the white knuckling kind of builds because you're just so aware of what you're trying to do that it's like you're kind of white knuckling through allowing. I don't know if that makes any sense, but it's,
yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it is. And I've listened to the module on taking control, like,
yes,
so many times. Yeah. And I even listened to it yesterday before I went to the event. And I I feel like I'm missing.
Well, I don't think you are. I think you are just wanting it to get, you're wanting it to get easier, quicker probably than it going to.
Yeah.
I just think, you know, it's like at first it's going to be like a combination of white knuckling and a lot. Well, first it's going to be like white knuckling the whole time. And then, you know, once you kind of realize the difference, it's going to be like, you're going to kind of go back and forth and back and forth. And that's where that kind of white knuckling can kind of build. But then, you know, again, it's just over time, it's like you'll do more allowing than you do white knuckling, but it's still going to be a combination of both. And then you're going to, you know, kind of come out the other side and be like, okay, you know, I got through that. I still did some white knuckling, but I did more allowing, and then, you know, process that. And then it just kind of, it builds from there. But it's just like, it's not going to be like a switch where all of a sudden you're just able to allow it.
That's probably all I needed to hear.
You're in the messiness of it. You're just doing the work. And but there was something else you said. Well, you said you felt disappointed, you know, if you do, you know, end up overeating or whatever,
right?
That's a feeling that you're choosing. And so it's like, and that's coming from some sort of thought like, I shouldn't have done that. You know, I should have this figured out already or whatever. And the thought that you can always choose through any of this stuff, no matter what the, you know, the C line is the choice that you made. Right. And so you can always think, well, that was a learning experience, you know, like, and then figure out how it was a learning experience for you. So you never have to feel disappointed about any choice you make, no matter what it is, but it could, because it can always be a learning experience for you.
Right. I know that intellectually, and I know about the two kinds of failing and how to fail and turning it into a learning experience. So that's why I do the recovery worksheets to try to learn, and but I still feel like, oh, there must be a part of me that still feels that way. It's hard to come up. There must be a thought that I can work on to generate a different feeling than disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it is just, I'm learning so much. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I mean, you know, kind of, and you can start with the feeling. It's like, how do you want to, instead of disappointed, how do you want to feel?
Right. I think maybe that's a better way.
Yeah. Maybe start with the feeling.
It's so hard.
Start with the feeling first. And it could just be like, curious, you know, open, could be neutral, you know, it's just like, you know, how do you want to feel instead of disappointed about, you know, about an overeat or whatever, about not following your plan.
Right.
Yeah.
I try to, one of the things that helps me that I don't often remember is to imagine being a parent and, you know, when a kid messes up, it's like he's still loving towards loving. The child. So that's what I want. That's what I want to feel, like loving, you know, yeah. self-accepting. Like, okay.
That's a pretty good feeling any time, right?
Yeah. And you've been in doing these habits for so long. Yeah. Understandable you would do that, but
yeah. And it's like, so, but I think for you it's, I think maybe there's kind of a deep down thought that like eventually this is not going to be a problem anymore, like eventually this should just never, correct me if I'm wrong, but
no, I think I do. Is that a thought? Because there are other things, like I have had other habits that I wanted to stop, like chewing gum. I used to be addicted to chewing gum, or like the coffee, mm-hmm. or, you know, and I'm able to just, I have been able to stop. I have been able to change my habit. And I don't desire it anymore.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, you may absolutely get to that point with, you know, with this, but I just think it's staying open to like, well, what if this was always just something for me to learn from and to work on, you know?
Even if it's like, right now, I feel like there's a part of me that still has a desire to overeat. Like, try to be okay with that. It just seems like it's not sure intuitive. Be okay with always feeling that.
Desire. So what would it, okay, so what would it look like?
I just don't, I don't know. I don't want it.
Well, and that is where you are right there. I mean, it's like you're not opening yourself up to that possibility.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, okay, so what if, like, what, I mean, yeah, you're probably, I mean, I know from my experience, you know, years out here, it's like, there's always, you know, the desire, it did not go away, but I just learned to kind of, you know, manage it better and to, you know, have my tools in place to just manage it. But it's like, but it's not a matter of like that. I thought that there was going to be a time where I was not going to ever have that desire, because that's just the way our brains work. And it's, you know, we can leave, you know, we cannot have that physical over desire anymore, but the mental desire is just, you know, I
mean, the mental desire to overeat.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's, I mean, it's the way, actually, that's something we talked about at camp last week. It's like, it's our body. It's the way we evolved, where, like, you know, we evolved, we didn't know when we were going to get our next meal. And so we overate to compensate for, you know, not being able to eat for, you know, this period of time over here. And so our bodies, I mean, our brain always wants to eat more, because.
So you think that desire to overeat is different from like a desire to just chew gum? Are you saying that that's different? Because for me, both are similar in that it's suffering, right? It's like.
And I do not mean, like, this is just my opinion here. This is, I mean, you know, but I mean, with chewing gum is something that like you do or you don't do. And I think that overeating, well, I don't know though. I mean, you can just decide that you're never going to overeat again. But I almost think, I don't know. I just think, like, you know, in like drinking or something, where it's like, you know, you just don't drink anymore. But with food, I mean, you know, it's like you know, you can eat some of the food, but you just don't want to overeat it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I think it just takes kind of more mind management, because it's not like you're totally eliminating it from your life like you would gum or alcohol or something like that. And so, you know, it's just a matter, it's just always going to be a matter of managing your mind around it. And, yeah. Because, you know, and so that desire.
I guess it's like saying, oh, I'm just not going to ever worry, or I'm just not going to ever beat myself up. Like,
it's gonna come in, you know, it's gonna come into your brain, but we have the tools to kind of redirect our minds.
Right.
But again, it's just like, but the thing is that it doesn't, we don't have to be successful every single time to, you know, keep our weight off, to, you know, be okay. It's like we can, you know, use the tools and be successful, you know, most of the time, and then, and we'll be fine, you know, cause it's like no one lost weight absolutely perfectly. So that's good news, you know, that we don't have to absolutely not ever overeat ever again. We just have to manage our mind around it and not beat ourselves up and just see it as part of the process.
Right. Yeah. And I have noticed it with obsessing all my data, like, yeah, I lost weight and I had, you know, all these overeats. Yeah. But I do find as I get closer to my goal weight, like, can't have as many, or they can't be as extreme. Like, it seems like, I don't know. Maybe it's just because, like, you need less food the less you weigh.
Well, I just think it's a matter, like, of not overthinking all of that, of, like, you know, it's just like, you know what you need to do. You know that you're not going to be perfect at it, and just keep going. And like, and that's your life now. That's your life for the rest of your life. And then if you see a gradual, like, upward trend in your weight, you know, you need to, you know, reassess a little bit. But it's just, you know, but you don't want to come at it from a place of scarcity or, you know, deprivation and that kind of stuff. So it's just like kind of just dropping some of that and saying, I know what I need to do. I'm going to keep an eye on my, you know, on my data, and then I'm just going to keep moving forward. I mean, that's not a super exciting answer, but it's just,
no, I agree.
Yeah.
But also what you were saying about the patience with, the change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I mean, just not having these huge expectations of what is, you know, what you think is supposed to happen, but just know that the big picture is that you're making better choices. You're doing things, you know, you're feeling better. You're just doing things that are better for you physically and mentally, and you just keep doing those, and then the data will follow. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. It's always fun to talk to you. Kind of gets my brain exercising. It's fun. All right. See you later.
Bye.
All right. Let me answer this Q&A and then we will move on out of here. Okay, Betsy, when I plan snacks, am I supposed to say what time I eat them? Well, you would not have a specific time probably. If you were following your hunger scale, you probably wouldn't know a specific time. So no, if you're following your hunger scale, you know, the time is going to vary. So this is for Mary. You know, it may, So if you're following your hunger scale, you're not going to know the specific time. Now, if you have time constraints with work and things like that, you can always have a snack, even if you're not at a totally negative two, you can have a snack and then just eat to your plus two. So that's how that works. So yeah, you don't, I wouldn't suggest that you put specific times on your plan, especially if you're, you know, you want to keep it flexible if you're following the hunger scale, and really eat only when you're at your true plus two. Brenda, I'm having trouble making my 24-hour plan. I have such a hard time making decisions. It takes me forever to make one. I can work on a weekly plan for suppers and it takes hours. Any suggestions? So Brenda, Corinne just did a live on this yesterday. It was called something like your plan should take 2 to 3 minutes. And here's the thing, Brenda, decisions are easy when you do them, right? I mean, because the decision is literally just like a thought that you decide to think in a split second. So like, for example, my plan today, you know, I just sat down and did it, and it's like, it's, it's not the time to make the decision. It's all the time before, right? Where it's like, oh no, I need to collect all this information and I need to decide what, you know, what the right decision is and the wrong decision. That's probably the issue that you're having, Brenda, is you think there's a right decision and a wrong decision. And that's not true. There's just a decision that you make. And then you decide that is the decision and then you move forward. So it's all the time leading up to the decision that takes so long. And so, you know, for you, you may need to simplify like your options in terms of your suppers and stuff for the week. But you want to make it as easy as possible to make decisions. So you want to kind of just simplify it. You know, don't get on Pinterest and all that. If that just gets you down a rabbit hole, just keep it real simple, especially at first where, you know, okay, what do we like to eat for dinner? And let's just choose it and do it. So, yeah. So, I mean, I would even, you could even kind of make it a little game and be like, okay, so how quick could we do this plan this week? How quick could we do, could I do my 24-hour plan? I'm going to time myself and see if I can beat myself tomorrow. So, so yeah, making decisions, and I am someone that has struggled with that as well. Making this, the only way to get better at making decisions is to practice doing it quickly. And then you just have to own it. So, okay, let's see in the chat if there's anything. Brooke says, I can't figure out how to view history of chat, but I know someone said the sound was really, I just took headphones out and it was really quiet. Yeah, on your phone, there's that little speaker image thing. And yeah, if you click on that, it makes it louder. So I've experienced that on my phone. So I'm on my computer. So, okay, that's it. And it sounds like y'all can hear me a little bit better. I will look at my computer and see what the audio issues were and see if I can adjust anything. But other than that, I'm going to get off of here and y'all have a great rest of your weekend. I will be back doing office hours on Tuesday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. So I will see y'all then. And it was really fun today. Thank y'all so much for being on here. And yeah, have a great rest of your weekend. And I'll see y'all in the groups and also in Ask Coaches. I'm about to go over in there in just a minute and start answering some questions over there. So, all right, guys, see ya. Bye.